WD4KTI, Whiskey 4 Dallas Foxtrot. You listen, Fred? WD4KTI. This is Whiskey 4 Delta Foxtrot. W4DF calling. KN4RJN. KN4RJN. This is W4DF calling. Are you listening, Mr. John?
CLX Mobile Monitoring.
This is W4 Delta Foxtrot. You're sounding good into the repeater. I believe it's a W6 or a K6.
Yeah, don't make it. November 6, Charlie, Lima X-ray.
Number 6, Charlie, Lima X-ray. W4DF. Good, I guess it's afternoon.
Hey, afternoon. Name here is Mike. Headed south on 385, so I don't know how far I'm going to be able to make this thing.
Sounds like out on the Grand Tour. My name is Don, Delta Oscar November, and I'm located about 15 miles northwest of Spartanburg in a booming metropolis of Inman, I-N-M-A-N, Inman, South Carolina.
Oh, Inman? I think I've been out there once or twice.
I wonder, with the sixth call, that normally was a California call, or six land, which at one time only included California. Did you once live in California?
Got my call in the San Francisco Bay Area where I grew up back in 79, and I just kept it because I like it. But I could also say I'm an escapee from the insane asylum of California.
That's great. My son, my middle son, and his family live in Dublin, California. Are you aware of where that is?
Heard of it, but I left California when I was 18, and never to return to live there, just to visit.
Well, I heard once. I traveled there once in my work back in the 70s. We had a vendor that built broadcast audio video switchers for master control, and I had to go out and check it out, make sure everything was up to our specifications, and left here on a Monday and came back on a Wednesday. By the way, that was Grass Valley. It was a company called Grass Valley in Northern California, somewhere north of north and northwest of Sacramento.
The Sacramento area is pretty nice. It's, I don't know. It's all a blur to me from years ago. I like it here too much.
Yeah, there were a couple of stations on here the other week or something, a week or so ago, that were talking, and one of them said he lived in Walnut Hill, I believe, which is not too far from Dublin, and hoping one day I can maybe contact him. We talk about when he lived out there. My son lived there for a while, and then they moved to Dublin. So I just, when I heard your six prefix, I just saw that, and made me remember back when I first got licensed in 1958, I guess it was, 58, 62 years ago, there were 10 districts, FCC districts in the United States. Of course, that was 0 through 9, maybe, something like that. And wherever you were located, you were assigned your number, and your call letter was assigned for that area only. In other words, if you were 6, immediately everyone knew you were in California. So that changed years later. And now, like I say, you know, like I would say, they're five, six, sevens, eights, nines, and zeros in my backyard.
SELX variety. Yeah, when I got my license, 79. I think we could. I don't remember now. I think we could travel, but we had to say we were slash mobile or something like that, or slash the area we were in. But that changed very soon after I got my ticket. But I did have to go down to the FCC offices in downtown San Francisco to take my test, my code test, my written test, and I came in as a tech.
Yeah, that's very interesting. That's the way I remember the early days, especially when I got my novice in 58. I was KN4SAO. And, of course, back then, a novice license was only good for 1 year. So you had to upgrade within that year or had to get off the air, lose your license. So sometime in 1959, I took a conditional, which was a license that you could, if you lived more than 175 miles or 75 miles from the examining point, the FCC office, you could take it by mail. So I did that, and then later on went to Atlanta and took the general, which basically was the same as the conditional, except that you sat before an examiner. And then I upgraded to advanced sometime along the way, and then I got my extra. But so many memories. I really enjoyed these years as a ham operator, even though I slack off from time to time. I thoroughly enjoy it.
I was advanced. I got my advanced back in the 90s, and I just never bothered to do the extra. I got my advanced. I took the extra written exam, and I was already a general, so I took the written exam for the extra, but I didn't take the code test for the 20 word a minute. So I came in as an advanced in the 90s, and long story short, a couple months ago, I finally took my extra, so now I'm an extra.
So you were an advanced until recently?
If you have an old call book, even, well, 2-3 months ago, I was advanced. They let me keep it. That's still a valid level of ticket, but I went ahead and took the test, and out of 50 questions, I missed one. It was a dumb question to miss, but anyway, I got my extra ticket now, so I'm an extra.
Congratulations! Congratulations! It's a good feeling. I had to copy 5 words per minute. And I was excited, and of course, every time you advance up, you kind of feel better about yourself. You challenge yourself. That's what I always tried to do. Whatever I accomplished, I tried to go one step higher. And the year I got my license, 58, if you had a general, you had all amateur privileges. You had all privileges, privilege-wise, by your class. But sometime in the 80s or 90s, sometime, the FCC came out with what they called incentive licensing. And that's when they started separating the different classes. If you wanted to get all the privileges, you had to be an extra. But of course, that changed, I guess. I don't know what it is today. I don't do a lot of operating anymore. But those days were something else.
The new code-free licenses are okay. I had a different thought of it when it came out, but it's all right for me. Still enough people. people out there doing CW. The pretty much anyone that's coming into the hobby now, they come in as a tech. There's really no novice anymore, although it's still a class. I guess that anyone that's a novice and doesn't want to move up, they keep their license. But so it's just tech and then general and then tech just getting into the hobby.
CW has always been my niche from day one. When I took my novice exam, I had to locate, my dad and I both took our exam, and back in 58, and you had to locate a ham. I think you had to be a general or something, or have some kind of qualifications that would qualify him to be your examiner. And fortunately, I was able to locate a commercial radio telegraph operator that worked for Southern Railroad in Greenville. And every day he went to work and operated a semi-automatic bug all day long. And that was the last one I ever knew. But I eventually got into commercial television and took and passed my third class, second class, and first class radio telephone. And this was about the time I was advancing to extra, going to extra. So I decided, why not go after the commercial radio telegraph, which required 25 words per minute in coded groups, not plain language. So it was a little more difficult to copy. But anyway, I got the third class radio telegraph, got the second class radio telegraph, and the only requirement for first class would be to go to sea to operate as a commercial radio telegraph operator. Well, at that time, I was in my mid-30s, and I'd always wanted to go to sea as a shipboard radio officer. But with a wife and three children, I had to kill that in the beginning. But I've always been...
We moved here from Louisiana in 07, but back in the 90s, I had the privilege of knowing a guy on our local repeater. Jewel was his name. He was a first-class marine operator working on shipboard. And I had never had ever met anyone in my life faster than him on CW. He was incredible.
Yeah, there were some fast ones out there. There's still an organized group of former commercial telegraphers. The thing about when I took my novice from the commercial radio telegraph operator there at the Southern Railway, I learned immediately that hams utilize the international Morse code, but the railroad operators used what was Morse code, entirely different. And this guy could switch from one to the other in a sentence. I thought that was so profound. But in my prime, I could copy 30 words per minute and write it down. But I had an idea that a fellow named Ted McElroy, who in about 1939, I believe it was, he was in the Signal Corps, and he set the world's record at 75.2 words per minute. And those are five-letter words. Of course, it would be coded groups, which is even more difficult. But I got the idea as a kid, I'm gonna break that record, or attempt to. And my only problem was he copied on a typewriter, and I could never get faster than 30 words a minute. So I gave that up, but I always look to do that.
N6CLX for ID. Thank goodness for that automated ID, or lose track of time. Yeah, I think Jewel was in the high 50s, low 60s. But I don't know how my signal is. I'm getting further down. I'm going into Clinton. I'm about 9 miles out.
Now, you're still coming. You're still making it into the repeater. But you are getting scratchy, and I know I used to travel that road quite often down 26 and work this repeater. I have worked it into Columbia and also out Interstate 20 toward was it Florence out that way and Myrtle Beach. But the repeater used to get down that way quite well. Listen, let me get off here. There was another station that had clicked on Echolink. I could see his call, but I waited for him to make a comment, so I hope I didn't hog the frequency. I apologize for that. You have a safe trip to your destination, and great to talk to you. You're the only advanced class operator I've ever talked to, I believe. So 73, and you have a good evening. W4 Delta Foxtrot, sir.
John, W4 Delta Foxtrot, November 6, Charlie, Lima X-ray, and I'll be monitoring. I'm getting scratchy and don't want to hold this thing up.
Well, look at that, W4 Delta Foxtrot, listen.